You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hello and welcome to this week's Corner House podcast. Konnichiwa, I'm Sarah Perks, your regular host, and I'm also joined by Salford University's Andrew Willis, and we're going to be talking about the new Japanese animation from Studio Ghibli that's called Arrietty. Later, we're going to hear from the cast and crew of a new Sky One comedy drama, Mount Pleasant. They visited Corner House recently to show off the first episode of the programme and also to do a masterclass in script writing. And also, let's not forget our What's On Guide and the staff recommendation of the week. So let's move on to this week's film focus. We're looking at the new Studio Ghibli film from Japan. It's called Arrietty. I'm sure you all know Studio Ghibli is a big, very unique Japanese animation studio that's run by legendary director Hayao Miyazaki. And he's been making films, well, feature films since the early 80s. He's got a really, really strong back catalogue. Most famous for things like Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke. Going further back, he did such classics like Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, and My Neighbor Totoro, and Castle in the Sky. Lots of amazing features. I'm a big Studio Ghibli fan. You've probably guessed that already. But this is a new film. It's not directed by Hayao Miyazaki. It's directed by an animator that's come up through the ranks, if you like, at Studio Ghibli. He used to be an in-betweener. That's coloring the bits in between. And his name is Hiromasa Yonebayashi. And this film is an adaptation of The Borrowers, a 50s children's book classic. So, Andy, first of all, tell us a bit about the synopsis of this film.
Well, as you say, it's based on The Borrowers, which has been made into a successful TV series and film as well in the past. And basically, The Borrowers are little people who live around people's houses in the garden. And when things go missing, The Borrowers have taken them and they're putting them to good use, and we don't even know that they've gone. So as you would expect in a Studio Ghibli film, there's a strong kind of environmental message going on, which is, you know, even the littlest things can be used again and again, and someone else can put them to good purpose. And Arrietty is the daughter of a family, and she's really, I think, on the cusp of adulthood, so she's just desperate to go out into the world on her own. She's been shown how to borrow things by her father, and now she's at the moment where she's going to do it on her own. And as that adventurous streak in her comes through, she's spotted by one of the big human beings, as they call it, throughout the film. And she's always been warned by her parents never to be seen, and so she's got the dilemma now that she's been seen. And really the story is about whether the borrowers can keep their existence going, can remain safe in the house with all the things that are going on around them now that Arrietty's been spotted.
And it's important to know that this sort of teenage, sort of 13, 14-year-old lead character is very familiar from Studio Ghibli's films and anime. It's called Shoujo. That's the sort of Japanese name for that kind of heroine. So if you think of, you know, in Spirited Away or Kiki's Delivery Service, where she's a young witch, she's just about to go out on her own and do things. It's all perfect if you have teenagers. I think you want them to go and discover themselves or just leave for an extended period of time, perhaps. So yeah, the environmental factor and the shoujo heroine is very typical of Studio Ghibli. But Andy, what did you actually think of the film? Did you enjoy it?
Well, I'm not a great fan of animation, but the Studio Ghibli films, I think, have always got something for everybody. So even though I'm not a massive someone who rushes towards the latest cartoons or animation or whatever we want to call them, this one's always got something, and the beautiful animation, the really interesting characters, they were all there. For me, I could have done with a little bit more, I think what they say now when it's for children's films, at mild peril in this film. So there wasn't enough of the kind of weird and wonderful Studio Ghibli imaginative kind of creatures in this one for me. But it kind of rattled along. It had quite an interesting story. The central character was quite charming, I think. She was very independent, very imaginative, and I'm sure that young audiences as well as older audiences would lap up that kind of typical, as you say, Studio Ghibli character. So it's definitely one, I think, for fans of Studio Ghibli. I mean, I think it worked reasonably well. Pacing for me, I found it a bit slow, but again, it's quite admirable, I think, that these Japanese animators kind of refuse the kind of Hollywood bang, bang, bang approach, and the stories really take their time to develop. The animation is quite, feels very old-fashioned, and that's a positive thing, you know, not a negative thing. So whilst I wasn't so keen on it from my personal perspective, I could really admire what they were doing, and it's certainly, I think, head and shoulders above, you know, the latest digitally animated, Gnomeo and Juliet, which I think you've seen recently, Sarah.
Well, I started watching and turned it off. It was an insult. I was on a plane, by the way. It's so beautifully crafted. It's gorgeous. And that's not even just the visuals, the sound, the attention that they make. They tend to make one film every 2 years, so you can imagine the kind of effort that they put in. They don't outsource all the stuff. You haven't got people colouring it in on the other side of the world for 24 hours. It's really, it's a piece of art. It absolutely is a piece of artwork. And I really, really enjoyed it. You've got all those stock characters. You've also got the, evil old woman character that's in most of the films as well. And, a really nice, kind of a nice story. I think you're right. There's it's slow a little bit at times, and it's not quite a super hit like Spirited Away. It's not quite as exciting as that, but it's still really, really enjoyable. You've also got the really cheesy music that if you're a regular of Studio Ghibli, you'll appreciate. If not, you'll probably be slightly horrified. And just really, really enjoyed it. I would highly recommend it for
anyone. Very, very strong on family values as well, as these films usually are. So even though Ariete is someone who is about to kind of find her own way in the world, she's also someone who combines both that very Japanese sense of family traditions. So there's lots of moments in the film where characters are talking about their grandparents and their grandparents' parents and the history of their family. And I think that's a very typically Japanese thing, but something I think that will hit a chord with anyone, really, particularly if, you're taking your own kids or your own grandkids or whatever to see the film. I think it's nice that there's that combination of youthful independence, but also a sense of tradition and maintaining family values and traditions.
Yeah, this is also one of those films that it's not quintessentially Japanese in terms of location either. It could kind of be anywhere. And again, Miyazaki's work often will be set somewhere else. So you had Howl's Moving Castle, again from a British novel, in Castle in the Sky. They're miners in Wales. So you do have this lovely international feel as well, while still having these environmental traits and the family values.
I was noticing all the labels were in English, and there was sort of French wine and things like that. But then when some of the minor characters appear, they're so obviously Japanese. It's that strange kind of almost universal. I'm always very worried about using the word universal, but it does give the films, I think, a sense of universal appeal. So there's something in the settings all the time that will allow anyone to kind of identify with it. Because, I felt, like you're saying, it's based on a British writer's novel, but even though the house is obviously in the suburbs of a big Japanese city, we see that from the beginning, but it also has that English country garden feel as well. And so, there is that otherworldly, unworldly, everyworldly sort of thing going on, I think.
Yeah, and a majority of our screenings are in Japanese with English subtitles, but some are dubbed, so which is really good if you want to bring young children in particular. Also, for once, I will not beat you up if you come and watch the dubbed version. It still works. It's fine. Of course, we stuck to the original Japanese language, but you won't get a ticking off if you actually don't fancy reading subtitles.
And I think that allows the whole family to come, so the older children might be able to read the subtitles, but there might be someone who's a little bit younger who may struggle to read subtitles for an hour and a half. And if you go to the dubbed one, then, there's something for everyone.
Yep, so that's Ariete, screening at Corner House from Friday the 29th of July. You can check out the trailer on our website too, www.cornerhouse.org. Okay, Andy, let's do the quick fire. What's your best Studio Ghibli film?
Well, as someone who hasn't seen a massive amount of Studio Ghibli films, just enough, I think, to say that probably Spirited Away is my favourite.
And as someone who's seen every film from Studio Ghibli, I would say My Neighbour Totoro. It's amazing, and I still have lots of Totoro paraphernalia around the house. And what's your best recent animated feature? So something that's been on in the last couple of years.
Well, I think I'd go for maybe something like Waltz with Bashir, because it's animation, but it's a kind of grown-up adult film dealing with contemporary global issues and politics. So, as someone who maybe doesn't want to be seen as someone who likes cartoons, that's a film that allowed even me to enjoy a cartoon.
And sticking with that vein, I'm going to say Persepolis, which was the Iranian film that was out a couple of years ago, which is very stunning. And again, really, it's more of an adult comic than a children's animation. Okay, thanks for joining me, Andy. And let's move on to our What's On guide.
Art, film, books, food, drink. All at Corner House, Manchester.
So first up in our What's On, there's still time to see our latest Corner House projects, which is the exhibition in our bar and cafe. It's a collection of photographs by a Manchester-based artist, Roshana Ruben Mayhew, and she has a really interesting set of images, all of which use a limited number of exposures. So they're really kind of quite abstract, but really interesting images. And you can see those in our bar and cafe, and all the work is for sale as well until Tuesday, the 2nd of August. Okay, did you see Drew Barrymore's 2009 directorial debut, Whip It? We did show it here. Then you'll know what roller derby is. It's sort of like rugby, but on roller skates. And of course, it would be an American invention. But it's loads of fun, and you can go to something called Carry On Jamming at the Sugden Sports Centre on Saturday, the 30th of July. And you can go and watch, or you can join in. Doors open at 2 p.m, first whistle at 3 p.m, and children are all welcome. So you can find out more about what I'm talking about. Join this Manchester Roller Derby. It's £7, tickets in advance, and check out their website on www.manchesterrollerderby.co.uk. And finally, for our What's On, it's the last day of the Manchester Jazz Festival on Saturday, the 30th of July. So perhaps if roller skating isn't quite your thing and you prefer a bit more of a, you know, a jazz setting, then head down to the pavilion that's in Albert Square. There's free gigs taking place. There's also late night band and club nights at Matt and Fred's and Band on the Wall. So if that's your thing, check it out, www.manchesterjazz.com.
You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Earlier this week, we had a special BAFTA masterclass and preview all around a new TV show on Sky One that's called Mount Pleasant, that starts soon. And we caught up with Sarah Hooper, who's the writer on the show, and she gave us some tips for aspiring writers out there.
I was wondering if you could tell me how you got into writing initially.
Yeah, I always wrote just generally sort of diaries and sort of snippets of scripts, you know, sketches, that kind of thing, and just enjoyed the process of writing. But then when I was about 30, I just realised it's what I wanted to do for a living, because I was very influenced by film and telly, just stuff that I liked, kind of wanted to get into that kind of thing. So I just wrote a script and I sent it off and it was picked up. And then the guy that optioned it, he sent it to an agent to try and get a director attached, and she gave me a ring knowing I wasn't represented and asked to represent me. And from then it just kind of marched on from there, really. It was like she'd get me meetings with producers, and then it's just about getting your name out there and carrying on writing and just not stopping and producing scripts, getting them out there. It's big gold graft, but you just have to keep firing away.
I suppose it might be hard to sum up, but what would you say makes good writing and good writing for TV?
Just being truthful, simple, really, really simple for me. And the minute it doesn't feel right, you will find that it's probably because you're having a lazy moment and you're writing what you think it should be because you can't be bothered, or you're tired, or you've got something else to do. And then you go back to it and you realise you're actually just not being really the bottom line truth of whatever that situation is, whether it's a joke, whether it's a scene, whether it's a part, a whole part, and then you sort it out and do it again. So that's it for me. It's just being truthful.
How did you find delivering the masterclass earlier? What sort of things did you talk about? What were people interested in?
It was great, actually, because very recently, and I'd still go to masterclasses now, because I just think that it's interesting to hear it from another person's point of view, and I wanted the people in there to hear it from my point of view, because I know that's kind of, you're desperate for information when you're trying to become a writer, or whether you are a writer and you admire another writer. It's a kind of sort of a weird club, I suppose, and if I've got information that they want, then I'm very happy to give it them. So I really enjoyed it. It was great. Yeah.
Sort of going back to the idea of top tips, is there anything that you would specifically pass on to aspiring writers or people who are already writing, just want to know how to improve?
Well, I don't know about improving, just because I always think I'm not much of a teacher on it, but I would, in terms of getting stuff seen and read, and I would just say keep doing it and continue to write and write all the time and work on ideas and then write them down and then keep writing. And that's basically it. It's just write.
So thank you for those excellent pearls of wisdom. And we also caught up with Sally Lindsay, the actress you may remember from Coronation Street, and the actor Daniel Ryan, and they told us a bit more about Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant is set in a nice area of Manchester, and it's about a marriage. of two people called Dan and Lisa, and they've been married for 10 years, and it's a study, basically, and a reflection of what happens in a real, genuine marriage, and a real woman, really, and about her friends and her mother and her father and all the stuff that makes life interesting, and it's an observation of that.
It's a study of what goes on in one little area of Manchester.
Who do you think is going to watch it, and what do you think they're going to get out of it, or why do you think they'll relate to it?
I think a lot of people will get a lot out of it because there's quite a young character in, played brilliantly by Ainsley Howard, called Denise, and she's very young and attractive, and that will draw the young boys in, hopefully, and certainly did on set. And then you've got a study of older people that are My Mum and Dad, which are Bobby Ball and Pauline Collins, obviously icons of our age. So we'll get a few older people attracted to it. And I think we'll get the heartland, 30-somethings, which I think me and Dan were sort of employed for, really, because they seem to like us. So I think it's got something for everyone.
You can just relate to it, you know. I mean, it feels familiar. They feel like people you know. They feel like things that have gone on in your own life. And within that, it's very, very funny too.
Which is always good for a comedy. But I know that sounds glib, but there's a lot of comedies made nowadays that are interesting and quirky, but they're not actually funny, and it drives me mad, that.
In terms of sort of filming in Manchester or filming in the North, is there anything different? Did you enjoy being on location here?
I mean, I love coming home to work. You know, it's great. I mean, I don't live in Manchester anymore. London took me away when I went to drama school, and then I left London and I live elsewhere. But I mean, in terms of coming home and being able to go to my mum's for tea occasionally and do my job, there's nothing better than that.
Well, I don't think I could have done it if I didn't film at home in Manchester, because I just had my little babies. I just had twins, and I had the whole family round me, nurturing them and letting me go to work, which was 20 minutes from my house. So I don't think I could have done it if it was anywhere else. That's how important it was to me.
In terms of location, did sort of people living nearby let you get on with it, or were people interested?
The good folk of Chorlton didn't interfere with us one bit. They were really, really nice. You know, there was often, the bars were full outside when we were filming various scenes, and apart from wanting to go and join them for a pint, you know, they just watched and went, oh, well, there's a film crew up the road, and they showed a bit of interest.
The only thing they were gutted about was we had a fake butcher's, and then when we took the butchers away, they were all, oh, have we not got a butcher's? They were all upset about that. That's what we learnt from filming this.
So thank you to Sally and Daniel for sharing that. And if you'd like to find out more about up-and-coming creative events, then keep an eye out on our website under www.cornerhouse.org/creatives.
Art, film, books, food, drink, all at Cornerhouse, Manchester.
And we've just got time for our staff recommendation of the week. So this week, let's hear from Christina Millar, who's our programme coordinator.
My recommendation for this week is Alison Ward's Hen Party performance, which takes place on Saturday 30th of July at 8 p.m. from Islington Mill. Well, basically, Alison Ward is a New York-based artist who's currently on a six-week residency at Islington Mill, and this performance will take place in the form of some kind of parade through Manchester, which starts at Islington Mill and ends on Canal Street. With this hen party performance, she's created a chariot for the event, which actually looks like a giant cake. And she's inviting participants to sit down in the chariot with her and basically get wheeled around Manchester. And I suppose her aim with this performance piece is to deconstruct the hen party and kind of create some kind of buzz and atmosphere. Anyway, it just sounds like a lot of fun, and please do go down and get involved.
Thanks, Christina. So that's all for this week. Arigato again, Andy, for joining us.
Arigato.
Thank you for tuning in. And don't forget, you can now download this podcast from iTunes. Yay. Just search for Cornerhouse Podcast. For more information on everything we've talked about, maybe stop us in the bar, give us a ring, or more likely you'll go to our website, www.cornerhouse.org. Facebook, we've got a fan page there, or try at Cornerhouse MCR on Twitter. See you next week.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
You've been listening to the Cornerhouse Podcast.